We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
In John 5:21, we need to understand that taking away here does not mean judgment. Okay. This is not the Father judging anyone, because in John 5:21 it says, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." So no one's being judged here, okay? This taken away does not mean in the way of judgment. The word taken away here is a Greek word, iero, and it means to raise upward, to elevate, to lift up. Anybody here have blackberries? Raspberries. If you have any sort of berries and they droop down and they touch the ground, guess what happens to that berry? It begins to rot. Okay? And so you have to lift them up. All right? So if it looks like it's about to touch the ground, you want to lift it up, somehow tie it up so it gets lifted up so it will continue to bear that fruit. Okay? That is what's being spoken of here. Because once it hits the ground and becomes earthbound, it's going to be rotten fruit. It's going to be good for no one. And so I believe this speaks of the Christian that for whatever reason you receive Christ, but you're still earthbound, so worried about the things of the world that you're not good for anything when it comes to eternity, advancing the kingdom of God, being a light and a witness to other people. And so you're still striving for those things that are temporary and not eternal. And because of that, no fruit. You might have this witness. You might say that you're a believer. You might tell people that. But as they look at their life, they see you as frustrated. They see you as anxious. They see you as angry as everyone else. Okay? And so God's going to try and lift you up. Hopefully that happens when you come here sometimes. You know, hopefully that happens as you're reading the Word. Okay? Because as you read the Word, you're going, yeah, why am I so worried about this? Why am I so upset with this? God tells me not to. And it lifts you up. Okay? In Matthew 6:19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart is also." Okay? And so we should have, you know, our eyes on the Lord. We should be thinking about the rewards and treasures in heaven and things like that. And here's an interesting thing, because I know I didn't have it up there, but in verse 21 of Matthew 6, it says, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." And this is something that all believers have to understand. When God's word says treasure something, you do. You don't wait till you feel like treasuring that something. You treasure it first, then your heart comes along. And I've used this example many times throughout the years that even as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ and coming out here first, you know, 33, 34 years ago, whatever it was, and I started a Bible study, I wasn't interested in missions at all. I was just interested in, let me teach the word. There's too many other things I got to worry about. I have to worry about, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And so it was like 2 or 3 years into it where the Lord started getting a hold of my heart. He began to show me that there's the Sea of Galilee and then there's the Dead Sea. And what made one sea thriving is that you had water coming in and you had water coming out. But the Dead Sea only had water coming in, nothing going out. And the Lord spoke to me to say, you know, you're doing this church and everything else, tithes are coming in, but what are you doing with that? You're doing outreach and other things, but you're not giving it towards another ministry. And if you keep this up, you're going to be the Dead Sea, not the Sea of Galilee. And I go, oh, man. You know, and so I saw that going, well, I don't really know of missions to give to or whatever, but, you know, I'd get things in the mail of this organization. So I started giving towards this organization. The church's money started going towards that organization, like $100 a month, $150 a month, something like that. And I'd get their newsletter, and, you know, I just round file it. I'm just doing what God, I don't really care a lot, for about 6 months. And then one of the times I read the newsletter. And it was telling me all the things that the Lord is doing through their ministry. And I was just going, that is really cool. And I heard the Lord say, and you're a part of that. And it got me excited. My heart started to come over. But I first treasured in what I knew the Lord was telling me to do. Then my heart came over. In Colossians, and now as a church, we support, I think, 36, 37 missions, you know. And God is blessing. And the Kellogg's are one of them that is here this morning. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you feel like it. It doesn't say that. It is God trying to direct us, because this will be good for you to do this. And it will change you. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. So the Father, as the vine dresser, will take that branch that does not bear fruit. He will lift it up that it will bear fruit. And if it's fighting him or whatever, guess what? I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12. I always think that this is, for the most part, probably after God has exhorted, encouraged you, trying to lift you up, and you keep on going down towards the ground anyway, chastisement comes. In verse 5 of Hebrews 12, it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons." And he's going to go on and explain a little bit of chastisement, but in that chastisement, it's interesting to me, he says it's also exhortation. He goes, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." Some of you go, "Well, he sure loves me a lot." Well, "and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? I don't know of one. But if you're without chastening, of which all become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons." This is what we do sometimes. "I'm doing what he's doing, yet I seem to be getting hammered and he's not." Here's the reason. That person probably is not one of the sons of God, one of the daughters of God. You ever thought of that? This is one of the reasons why the world can do what they're doing and seem to be enjoying their sin and everything else. And then you go, "Well, I'm going to go do that." And it doesn't work out for you. You know why? Because you're one of his kids. That's why. And God's going to have you on a short leash. And I see this all the time. I saw it with my kids. I saw it, you know, with other kids here that, you know, you raise them up right and everything else. And then they start a taste of the world and they get hammered. I just say, "Praise God." And then when I get a chance to talk to him, I just said, "I just want to let you know, this is my prayer for you, that you would not be successful apart from God. And you're just proving you're not going to be successful apart from him, because you truly are one of his kids." So he goes on and says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as it seems best to them, for he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present." How many people love being chastened? All right. "But painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." You look back in your life and go, "I'm so glad God chastened me through that. I didn't like it at the time, but I can look back and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Thank you, Lord, for doing that." Many of us can say the same thing. "Dave, are you telling me that if I walk with God, I do everything right, then I won't have any difficulty at all?" No, I'm not telling you that at all. There's a difference between chastening, you don't have to go through that actually, and pruning. Because the pruning, see, chastening gets you back where you're supposed to be with God, okay? But then pruning is what makes you grow in God. So, to be pruned, every branch that bears fruit, you're already bearing fruit. You're doing good. You're walking with the Lord. It is the way it's supposed to be. And guess what? Snip. Ah! What's that for? What did I do wrong? Nothing. But this is going to help you produce more. Okay, I'm good. No, I'm not. Snip. Okay. The word prune here, kathiro, to cleanse. Especially to prune trees and vines from useless shoots. To prune means you cut that branch. You cut that branch here and there in order for that branch to produce more fruit. That's what trials are. You're not doing anything wrong. It's there to make you more Christ-like so you could bear more fruit is what that means. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith, it's a testing, produces more fruit. Patience. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That's being very, very fruitful. 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's fruit. That's fruit. Remember, all trials bring you to that place. In John 15:3, it says, you've already been cleaned. You're already clean. You're already saved because of the word which I've spoken to you. Again, this isn't talking about salvation, this whole pruning and things like that. In verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This word abide in the Greek, meno, it means to stay, abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry. And I have put it all together, and I believe it means this when you look at all that. Spend time in. You want to bear much fruit? You need to spend time with Jesus. I want to read this right now, just the very first 8 verses, or 4 through 8, and we're going to replace abide with spend time in. And look what it says. In verse 4, spend time in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it spends time in the vine or with Jesus. Neither can you unless you spend time in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who spends time in me and I in him bears much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not spend time in me, he is cast out as a branch and has withered, and gathered them, and thrown them into the fire, and they are burned. If you spend time in me, and my word spend time in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. But this my Father is glorified, that you spend time in me in order to bear that fruit, so you will be my disciples. Something very interesting, go over here to verse 16. This is how God's glorified, by bearing much fruit. Well, guess what? In verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you and appointed you specifically for this. What? That you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, God has appointed you for this reason to bear fruit. You've been appointed to bear fruit. Can't happen without spending time with Jesus. You need to spend time, be in his presence. When I spend time, even this morning when I spend time with the Lord, it's not as though, okay, infill me, and yes, I'm praying for that for the message this morning and everything else, and then once I'm done, I go home and I don't talk to the Lord anymore. I am constantly talking to the Lord, always, all the time. And so I encourage you to spend time with him. And you see someone who's really fruitful in their witness. They're really fruitful in what God has put into their hands. I will show you someone who probably spends more time with the Lord. Little fruit, little time in the Lord. No fruit, no time in the Lord. And so this word fruit here, karpas, means the ingathering of crops, meaning fruit that is harvested. Okay? I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5. We don't have much time. For some odd reason, I'm going a little long. I don't know how that happens. But Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Before you get into the fruit, it's interesting how these are the works of the flesh. Okay? Now, the works of the flesh in verse 19 of chapter 5, it says, the works of the flesh are evident. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. Okay? Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. Okay, first off, when we start this list, you're going, yeah, ooh, yuck, adultery, fornication, I'm calling it lewdness. Yeah, I don't want that. Idolatry, who does that? You have a phone? We do that. We spend more time on the phone. Idolatry, sorcery, well, I don't do that. What about hatred? Well, I don't hate, I just loathe. I just dislike intensely. Hatred, it's part of the flesh. Contentions. Are you a contentious person? Jealousies. outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies. What about envy? I don't envy. I don't want what he has. Yeah, but you also don't want him to have it. That's also envy. That's also envy. Murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What? I got angry yesterday. I'm not going to. No. We're talking that this is what a person's lifestyle. This is what I'm choosing to do. This is how I'm going to live my life. And so I don't care about the things of God. I'm going to live selfishly, idolatry. I'm going to be my own God and everything else. I'm going to live for that. This is a place where they have now seated themselves. This is what I'm going to do. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The interesting thing about this, I'm not dying on a hill for this one at all, okay? There's some who think that there's only one fruit here, it's love, and the rest is kind of an explanation of what, you know, love is. There's other believes that there's nine fruits of the Spirit. I don't really myself care where you fall on that, but it's interesting that the word fruit there is in the singular. So I'll just leave it with that. The point of the fact here is that this is what should characterize your life, is this fruit. In John 13, when Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. The word for new here isn't new in the mean that it's never been seen before. It is a Greek word, kainos, which means new in the way of freshness. This word means something that is fresh as opposed to something that has lost that freshness in that state or over time. It's kind of like the Lord is reminding them again, you need to love, okay? It's not new to the world. It's not new that God hasn't told you. He says, love your neighbor, okay? So we've known about that, but it's lost its freshness. It's lost its zeal. Jesus is reintroducing it again, said, we need to do this. We need to do this. Now, the fruit here of love, you know, we are to love. And it's not thinking of yourself. It's thinking of other people. And then it's interesting to me that when it comes to love, when it comes to joy, when it comes to peace, these are things that you should be in this state of before God, knowing that your sins are forgiven. You should be joyful. When people say, well, doesn't God want me to be happy? I always love it when people ask me that question because I love to be able to say this word, no. Doesn't God want me to be happy? No. He wants you to be holy. And when you start to become holy, it's the joy of your salvation that people see. Joy is eternal. Happy has to do with circumstances. Happenstance is where that word comes from. And you are going to be happy throughout your life as a circumstance, a happenstance is positive and things like that. It's kind of wonderful. Oh, we just had a new baby boy. We had a new baby girl. Oh, yeah, that is happenstance. But then they become teenagers. Probably not so happy. So it wanes, it comes and goes, okay? Joy isn't like that. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. I have joy, my salvation, my sin is forgiven. I know if I die today, I go to heaven. What is the big deal? I have this joy that even though everything around me is blowing up or whatever, it's like, okay, God, you've got this. I'm with you. You'll never leave me. That's joy. And people watch your circumstance, see how you display that joy. Go, what's wrong with you? No, it's what's right with me. This is all temporary. And guess what? I know where I'm going. Tremendous way. These other fruits you manifest towards each other, long-suffering. I will argue this. This is a place that I will argue with anybody. They'll try and define it all different ways. And I said, yeah, whatever you want, how you want to find it. I know what this word means. Long-suffering means longer than you want it to be. Longer than you want it to be. That's long-suffering. That's long-suffering. And you need to be patient and long-suffering towards people. How long, O Lord? Longer than you want. Kindness, acts of charity to help, benevolent towards one another. Goodness, responding to evil with good. You don't respond evil with evil. When Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. And so we need to be good to one another. This needs to be seen. Faithfulness and just be reliable, trustworthy. You say you're going to do something, do it. You say you're going to be somewhere, be there. You know, gentleness, you're humble, you're considerate of others, self-control, that's meekness and strength. I know I could take your head off, but I'm not going to do it. That's meekness. From the world's eyes, you deserve it, but I'm still not going to do it. And there's that self-control. And against, there is no law. God gave the law to make people aware of their sin and to restrain evil, but no one would make a law against the fruit of the Spirit because it's neither sinful or evil. And people need to see it. In John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. There's three views on this. First two are wrong. They actually believe that you can lose your salvation, that your branch is going to be burned. You're going to be burning in hell and this, that, and the other thing. That's wrong. The other view is that you're not really a Christian, and so this is how you're able to show you're not really a Christian. I don't believe in that one either, okay? I believe this third view, that the branches are cast out because you're fruitless Christians. You've lived your life, you've wasted by still being earthbound, but you're still saved. Dave, how do you know that? Because that's what 1 Corinthians 3 is all about. When it comes to your works, it says here, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. You're a branch, you're in him. But guess what? You're not producing fruit at the end of your life. Okay, yeah, going to be broken off, cast in the fire, showing everything that you did earthbound is going to be burned up, but you're still in him, and guess what? You are saved. You are saved. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. This means in his name, because you're spending time with him, he's putting on your heart the things to pray for. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That means according to his will. You're asking in his name. Verse 8 of John 15, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. You bear fruit, you bear fruit, you bear fruit. Here's how you know how well you're bearing fruit, honestly. I'm not here to pick on anyone or whatever. You're the only one that knows this, and your dear friends know this about you as well. When you walk into a room, are people excited to see you? Let's say there's a crisis. You walk into the room, are people going, oh, I'm so glad they're here. We'll be able to figure this out. There'll be more mercy and grace being poured into the situation. This is wonderful that they showed up. Or when you show up, everybody's going, oh, great. You know, we want to help the situation. Now I'm divided. Now do I have to help this? But now I have to help this other person because they just are very rude and obnoxious and they're not going to help this situation at all. When you come into a room, are people excited that you're there or are they more excited when you leave? If you're a fruit-bearing Christian, they're going to be excited when you come through the doors, no matter what the situation is. They're going to be glad that you're there as opposed to being glad when you leave. If they're more glad when you leave, it's because there's something wrong and you're probably not spending time with the Lord where he can change you, and so you could be more fruit-bearing to where that you're doing all these other things of being long-suffering and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control with other people. Let's pray.
Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us on Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. We'll be back tomorrow to continue our study through the book of Exodus. Don't miss it. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.